My donor number is 10749. Hello, I'm 5'10" tall and have a medium build. I have black hair and brown eyes. My skin color is light tan. My mother's ethnic origin is Armenian, Austrian, German, and Polish. And my father's ethnic origin is Czech, Native American, and Mexican.
All right, well, thanks so much for taking the time to be here with us today. We really appreciate it. I'm gonna start with some questions about you and then move on to a few about the donor program. And the first one is, are you currently a student? Are you working? What do you got going on?
Yeah, so I'm a teacher in my 13th year as an educator. I primarily work with 3rd through 8th graders, but I do work with kindergarten, 1st and 2nd grade. I teach math. I'm our science instructor, and then I also head up our restorative justice coordinator. So a big part of my day is collaborating with teachers on either restorative practices in their rooms, helping with classroom management, working with students who may need some emotional support, and also designing activities and community building that fosters community and fosters a deeper relationship building between students and students, and then between students and staff.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. All right, so in your ideal situation, 5 to 10 years from now, what might you be doing then?
Yeah, I think in 5 to 10 years, I know I'll still be around education. I think currently my work involves a lot of working with restorative justice and teacher training, and I'm hoping in the next 5 to 10 years, I've developed a greater skill set in facilitating teacher development and facilitating teacher coaching. And so I think in 5 years, I see myself leading a school, whether through their teacher education program, so like working with schools on developing new or younger teachers, designing professional development opportunities for staff. But in 10 years, I think I see myself professionally potentially moving out of traditional education systems, whether that's working in potentially working with charter schools who are trying to develop from the ground up, working more on in a platform or with a community on a larger scale, potentially nationwide or statewide, that allows me the capacity to develop training programs to support more communities and more staff members from varying schools. I'm currently working on writing an Indigenous-based science curriculum that I'm hopeful will also afford me in 10 years to work in Native communities that are aspiring to develop more robust science educational opportunities for their kids. And then continuing to foster a land-based and place-based learning focus. So that's been a big part of my work the last couple of years is place-based learning and localizing learning, and not just through science classes, but localizing math and English classes and social studies classes. And I'm excited about the opportunities as more and more schools are adopting things like that, of where that might take us in 10 years. I'm also extremely satisfied with my current family. I have 3 wonderful kids, and while I don't plan on expanding that family further, I look forward to seeing my kids get more engaged in sports and after-school activities, and being a present father for them.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, a few questions about growing up. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Yeah. What's your relationship like with them?
We're really close. I think growing up, especially being about 2 years apart, I think there was often a lot of rivalry mixed with traditional sibling bickery. Especially being so close. I think when we all decided to make the move into college, we saw our relationship grow and develop. I think I have a really interesting relationship with my brother. We are kind of a low-maintenance sibling relationship. We don't feel the need often to have a lot of conversations. There are times a year where we talk more and times a year we talk less. But it seems like whenever we get together, whenever he's in town or we're on the phone, we kind of just pick up where we left off. We talk sports, we talk culture, we talk music. We have both very different interests, but also very similar interests that go back to when we were children. So it's nice. Like I have a deep love and respect for my brother. I think he's always been the model for consistency in my life. He is definitely something I aspire to in terms of like drive and commitment and focus. We're definitely nearing our middle ages, and I still think of him often as my big brother. And We'll forever see him like that. And then my sister, we're both educators, and I think we've bonded much deeper on that level. We both have chosen to have families, and she recently just started her family, and so we've not only connected on the struggles and difficulties in being educators in low-income communities, but also being educators who are wrestling with our own identities and what it means to show up in workspaces as people of color. And then also what it means to raise families who are mixed race and what that looks like, and all the nuances that go into being teachers and parents. And so I think whereas my brother and I have a very low maintenance relationship, my sister and I have a very committed, thoughtful, reflective relationship, which my brother and I just haven't needed to have. And so I have it with my sister. We get along well. I think we always wish that there was more time because I don't currently live close to either of my siblings. So I know there's always this hope that we'll have more time together. But we have definitely grown closer since we've all become adults.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, how about your parents? Would you say they gave you any morals or values that you still see in yourself today?
Yeah, I think as a very young person, my dad very much instilled this idea of like take care of the things you have, even though it took years for that to set in on us. He very much believes in like the idea of hard work pays off, but also opportunity is something that presents itself when you are most prepared for it. So you have to prepare for things. You have to take care of the things you have, whether there's our physical resources or relationships. Like relationships don't last if you don't put time and effort into them. My dad is also somebody who cares very, very deeply about things and often doesn't share that until necessary. And I think I adopted that of like feeling very, very deeply about things to the point where committing my life to education was not something I thought about until I left college. I can't imagine myself doing anything else because I think it's the most worthy place for my time. He also, I think, for his entire career, has said, pursue things you love and the work will figure itself out. I love my job, but I more so think about this as teaching is a choice I've made for my life. I'll always be in education, and that when I choose to leave education, my kids will be in education because they're going to be in school. And so he still lives his life in a way of like, if you pursue things you're passionate about, the adage of like, oh, I never worked a day in my life because I do what I love. And I think that's true for him. And I think he's definitely always encouraged us from when we were very young to don't worry about the money. Don't worry about necessarily the job. Choose things you love. And that part will always figure itself out. And I very much believe that. I think I've been very blessed in the work that I've done. And I continue to focus on the things I want to do and letting the jobs and things kind of sort themselves out. And then my mom worked at a library for 30-something years, and I think she has always had a very selfless heart, and I think that has rubbed off on me. I don't want to say more so than my siblings, but I learned very young that some of the best gratification I get is by serving others, whether that's serving in a church, serving for volunteer work, serving my family and my wife and my kids, serving my students. I don't want to be overgeneralizing, but I would say I have a service heart, and I find that I get the most out of my life on a daily basis when I have found opportunities to serve. And my mom, still as a retiree, still continues to serve her community, and no doubt that rubbed off on me.
Excellent. All right, so when you're not working, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, I love being outdoors, whether it's through sports, play. A big part of my early work as an educator was play. I was a coach, and that was a big part of my team culture was we played, and that's how we got better. That's how we built community. So anything that has a ball, I'm interested in doing outside. Specifically, I really enjoy running. It's a really cathartic and I would say even like a spiritual place for me when I get to run and swim. I've been swimming since I was 4 years old, and swimming is not only a physical release, and running is a physical release. It's a social emotional release for me, and so I thrive on being outside. I certainly try to get my kids outside as much as possible as well. So I would say like saying we're an outdoors family probably feels a little cliche, but I definitely think my kids prefer to be outside just like I do. I also love cooking, and I prefer to do most of the cooking in my household because that's also a break for me in terms of an emotional release. It's also Something I love exploring. I love exploring how foods connect. I love exploring how foods connect us to our cultures, connect us to people. I get a lot of joy in cooking for my family, and then I get extra joy for cooking for friends and relatives and colleagues. And I grew up watching a lot of Emeril Lagasse and Bobby Flay and just these cooks on TV, and never having any formal training, I feel like if there's anything I see recipes, I feel like I can always recreate them. And often it's great and sometimes it's not. And I think that's part of the fun of cooking. So while I often struggle seeing myself as a creative person, I do have some outlets for that. And that's generally play, being outside, teaching, and then creativity in the kitchen are definitely like where I invest my most time when I'm not working.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so I'm going to jump into some questions about other things that you might enjoy. Since you mentioned cooking, what are some of your favorite foods?
Oh, I love Mexican food. I've never met an individual who doesn't like Mexican food. I really enjoy experimenting with flavors. I love Indian food. I love the flavor combinations, especially since they're such in contrast. I spent a little bit of my life studying abroad in the Mediterranean and learned of the wonderful vibrance of like mixing Mediterranean flavors with Arabic flavors and regions like, you know, Cyprus and Israel and Jordan, just how amazing their food is. And so I love food that is creative, robust. I especially love fusions when they're done well. So whether they're, you know, Asian Mexican fusions or Mediterranean Arabic fusions, or people who choose to make, you know, American foods but adding twists to them, I think those are really special. I think that shows where people are pushing boundaries of kind of what's traditional, and those things excite me. So I don't know that I would ever pigeon, like, put myself in a pocket of like, oh, I just love this food, but I really love creativity. I often will, whenever we do order food, we'll do something that is a special or not a regular menu item because I want to see something different. And so experimenting with flavors and types of food I haven't had before are also really important for me.
That's great. Okay, so you mentioned going to the Mediterranean. What's one of the better trips you've been on in your life?
Certainly that trip. I spent 6 months studying abroad between Cyprus, Israel, and Jordan, and I think it was it changed my world, to put it lightly, not just because of the wonderful people I met and the learning I did, but I think two particular things. One, it was some of the most beautiful places I've ever been, and the deep, deep, deep history that exists in that part of the world. It's not just like things you learn in a textbook. It's palatable. It's there in front of you. It's real. And I found that so interesting and so in stark contrast to like growing up in the West suburbs, where it was kind of just like everything was very suburban, and you know, those are wonderful things to have kids grow up in, but for lack of better words, there was kind of a lack of culture there. And so that has been really special to me. I was also met with some of the most hospitable people in the world, people who I'm still friends with, who, while I haven't seen in decades, I still, like, we still connect through social media. You know, it was never a question of being an American, would I be welcome? It was a non-negotiable, like, do you have a good heart? Great, then you're welcome with us. And, you know, that, I don't want to say surprised me, but I was unaware of how hospitable people are and how much your hospitality and welcoming people to your home is inherent in that part of the world. And it's almost like a non-starter of, like, when you come to our host, you are our guest. Full sale, everything is taken care of for you. And then, you know, on top of that, I don't know if I've ever had such fresh food in my entire life. That certainly didn't hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to jump into some other things that you might enjoy. Let's go to music. Are there certain types that you're really into, or if it's easier, types that you're not?
Man, I'm a person who grew up with a lot of oldies, so my dad listened to quite a bit of oldies, so I grew up with a deep appreciation for Motown, funk, even disco. You know, not being a 70s and 80s kid, I grew up with that, and I love that music. And I definitely try to, I do Funky Fridays where I play funk music for my kids, and they're like, oh, I hear this in other songs. I'm like, I know you do, because it's sampled everywhere. Yeah. And so that's a huge part of the music I love. I love, you know, in the last 8 years of knowing my wife and 12 years of being together, like, I I love country music now. I have a deep passion for like country artists, and I really enjoy them. More modern than, you know, 90s country, but I certainly enjoy country. I grew up as a 90s kid, so like 90s 2000s hip hop was where it was at for me, and I still, you know, will hold true to those artists, and I've learned to also enjoy a lot of new artists. I especially love southern hip hop, so artists like Big X the Plug and the Mexican OT, like newer artists, like I really enjoy their sound. Artists like Atmosphere and Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, who tells stories through their music, I'm deeply, deeply connected to. I search out and seek out artists who have stories and are not just writing about popular themes, but telling stories and narratives, and I'm attracted to that. So whatever the genre is, right? Whether it's, you know, Motown and funk, whether that's hip hop, whether that's country. I went through a period where I spent a couple years visiting New Orleans and really got into bluegrass, specifically like southern bluegrass, and I really enjoy that. And will play that music now and again just for my kids to hear, but also because it connects me to story. So I guess in broader terms, like, there's very few genres I have a hard time listening to. Because I look for story, and whenever I can find music that connects to either the artist story or connects to my own story, I'm invested in it, and I love it, and I love being challenged to accept new forms of music as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's take this avenue about story. Let's talk about movies and reading for fun, right? So what do you like in those two different categories, and are they similar? Sometimes don't do similar things in both those rooms.
Yeah, I love sci-fi. I won't shy away from that. I love a good story, especially something that has science fiction elements to it. I really love drama and suspense. So I would say I don't like to watch drama and suspense as much. I really enjoy sci-fi things. So, you know, grew up with Star Wars and sci-fi anime and stuff like that. And it'll always be in my back pocket stuff. If it's on, I'm watching it. It's like a non-negotiable. I would never say I'm like a cinephile, but I do enjoy like cult movies. I grew up with, you know, a dad who worked in production or video production, so was introduced to like cult classics like Boondock Saints and stuff like that, where I love them. I love these kind of low budget stuff. I really love certain actors. So there are certain actors who, you know, I won't turn down anything they watch. Anything with Harrison Ford, anything with Quentin Tarantino stuff, I love. I love that you know, suspense of it, that theatricality. Quentin Tarantino's stuff is great. As far as reading, I really like spy stuff. I love spy and drama and suspense. I was really into like Western suspense novels for a while. I really like crime drama. When I allocate time for me to read, I really enjoy those. And I still find myself reading science texts. While I'm not a researcher by any means, I will still find a good science text that helps illuminate the world around us. I really have enjoyed reading David Attenborough stuff. He's the narrator for all the Planet Earth stuff, and I get his tone as he comes through in his writing, and it always resonates with me because I can tell his connection to the world around him, and it helps. Again, it's all about story for me. So anything that illuminates a story for me or connects me to their story, I'm invested in.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, any other passions, talents, or interests that we haven't touched on so far?
As far as talents, I'd like to say I'm pretty good at holding conversation. I don't know if that's incredibly talented, but I'm an extroverted person, and so I find myself often engaging in conversation with folks. There was a time in my life where I worked as a bartender, and I loved it not because of the social scene, but I loved talking with folks. I loved hearing their stories. I loved listening. You know, in another life, maybe I was a writer at some point in my life in a past life, just with how much I love story. I would say I'm fairly well equipped to handle ball sports. I don't know if that counts as a talent, but anything with a ball, I feel like I can pick up pretty quick. And growing up in the 90s, that was what we did. We didn't play games. We went outside and figured out games with balls. And so I feel like I'm pretty adept at that.
Still. Excellent, excellent. All right, I'm going to move on to those questions about the donor program now.
Yeah.
And the first one is, what made you want to become a donor?
Yeah, I realized several years ago that I had been blessed to start my family, and realizing our own challenges made me interested in supporting other families who might also experience that. My sister experienced difficulty, and it felt like something that if I could do and had the means to do it, I should. And I should offer that support in whatever it looks like. And so being a donor has been a blessing to both appreciate my own family's journey, but also give hope to other families who may need the additional support.
Well, we're grateful that you're here, so thanks so much. Next question is, what are some of your thoughts about possible future contact with an offspring?
Yeah, I think early on in this process, it definitely gave me pause. I wasn't sure if that was something I was comfortable with, mostly unaware of it, but working in schools now, I recognize that some people just need to better understand where they're from and where they come from, and if that might mean a potential offspring contacting because they need a better understanding. I don't want to prevent someone from understanding who they are and how they exist in this world, that opportunity. So certainly more open and accepting of that, of like, it's very hard to exist in a place that it might challenge your identity, may challenge what you believe you are, without knowing where you came from, and I think that's really important.
Absolutely. Okay, last question. Is there anything you'd like to say to the recipients of your donations?
I truly hope and believe in the value of creating life and bringing life into this world. I know we exist in a time and age where there's a lot of things that seem scary. And having my own family, there's many pressures and many things that challenge your notion of whether or not you are doing the right thing, bringing a child or more children into this world. Please know that, like, I will say this till I am no longer of this place, that the best thing I'll do in my life is being a parent. And I truly hope that in whatever ways this or my donors, my sperm may be helpful, that you also grow to appreciate that as well. That being a parent is one of the greatest joys. And that as long as you're approaching every day and every opportunity with your best intentions, like, our children are all the better for that. And I truly hope that this makes a difference in someone's life.
Great, great. All right. Well, thanks again for taking this time. We really do appreciate it. And we wish you the best going forward.